Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
All right, so the MLB trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline, is officially passed. That said, we're probably going to hear some more trades trickle in over the next half an hour to an hour. We'll keep you updated throughout the afternoon. This is Overdrive. Brian Hayes in here with Dave Festruck from the Toronto Star. Sounds as if Aaron Loop has been traded to the Phillies for a prospect. And John Axford, it sounds as if he has been traded to the Dodgers. So we're still trying to kind of confirm everything here and find out more about these prospects. It sounds like a one-for-one deal. The Loop deal, they're getting a kid. I can't even pronounce his last name. We got to wait until that comes out phonetically. It is written down for me. But he's been in AAA. His numbers are not great. He's 24 years old. But what were you really expecting to get for Aaron Loop? And John Axford has been traded again, it sounds like, to the Dodgers, and we're waiting to find out exactly who's coming back in return. But as of now, Granderson's still a Blue Jay. Clippard's still a Blue Jay. Maybe Solarte was out there, although some people thought he would probably stick around, and it sounds as if he has. Jose Bautista's name has been out there throughout the afternoon, that maybe the Yankees were kicking tires on Joey Bats.
Wouldn't that have been something?
And as of now, nothing's happened. So the biggest deal, Chris Archer going from Tampa to Pittsburgh. Bryce Harper's name had been out there, but nothing came of it. So lots of hype. Nothing significant today anyway.
Not a particularly big day. I mean, the Dodgers getting Brian Dozier, one of the best power-hitting infielders in the game, to round out their infield at second base is probably the biggest move, right? I mean, the longest-serving Blue Jay, Aaron Loop, leaving town. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a massive going-away party at Pearson Airport tonight. I don't sense it, anyways. No. There could be some hardcore Aaron Loop fans out there. I'm not acquainted with them.
No, I don't see SportsCenter cameras making their way out to Pearson to make sure that they say goodbye to Aaron Loop.
I guess they're in Oakland, so it wouldn't be at Pearson. The Oakland Airport.
Wherever it is.
Wherever the heck they are tonight.
Yeah.
So Aaron Loop leaving. The longest-serving Blue Jay now, you know who it is? It's Kevin Pillar.
Kevin Pillar.
Like, it's a new era, baby.
Lots of turnover.
It's a new era.
Lots of turnover.
It really is.
And this is, I guess, what they had to do. I mean, there's no point in keeping these guys with expiring deals. There's no point in keeping Loop or Axford or Clippard, for that matter, or Granderson. Granderson's the guy I thought they would definitely trade.
That seemed like the most marketable asset they had outside of Osuna.
And maybe something will still come out in the next half an hour or even throughout August. They'll put him on waivers and maybe he gets picked up and they'll work out a trade. I'd be surprised if he finishes the season with Toronto, but I figured someone would kick tires on Granderson. But the Jays, in reality, they just don't have that much to trade. They don't have any value to trade in terms of guys that they're actually willing to deal. I mean, they must have made the decision. Marcus Stroman is a guy that they're not willing to trade right now. Or if they were, you really would have had to blow their doors off. And that never materialized. The same thing with Sanchez, although I don't know how many teams out there would be looking at him because he's on the DL and no one knows when he's going to come back. And there's obviously a lot of question marks around him and where his career is going. And you're not trading Vladdy Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette or any of the kids, obviously. So who are you really going to trade? Who are you going to deal today that had a ton of value?
No, the big deal was yesterday with Roberto Osuna leaving town. And beyond that, the Josh Donaldson sweepstakes, you know, that would have been the dream, right? If you would have begun this year and you would have said, it's not going to go well, they're not going to be in the hunt, they're going to be 25 or whatever games out of the American League East at the trade deadline, I bet the best case scenario you could have thought for this team was, well, at least they can trade Donaldson at the deadline and you know, get something for him, right? And it just hasn't happened because, obviously, he's still mysteriously rehabbing from this mysterious calf injury in Florida right now, and he's not marketable. And you can't trade a guy that's just hasn't proven he can stay healthy at age 32. So it's been a disastrous year in a lot of ways for the Blue Jays in terms of getting value for assets. The Osuna deal speaks to it. The idea that you let go of the 23-year-old guy who's among the most talented arms in the game, and because of the circumstances of his life outside the game, you get pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
A couple of hopefuls.
He forced his way out, basically. I mean, he was the reason why his value depleted the way that it did. It wasn't form. It wasn't talent.
No.
It wasn't clubhouse problems. You know, it was a personal life issue. And the fact that he was being accused of something heinous, and he accepted a 75-game suspension. And as a result, I mean, we detailed this yesterday. We've been talking about it for 2 months. So the Blue Jays made that decision. I think what really has come out of it is the fact that Ross Atkins yesterday afternoon, again, was trying to convince people that this was a baseball deal, which is just completely bogus. And you've noticed that it's starting to trickle out, and you know that they're going to leak this to their favorite media members, that this deal was probably going to happen anyway.
Right.
Because I've heard that from a couple of people, like, oh, he'd probably end up in Houston even if he didn't have the personal issues.
Right.
Well, A, I'm not convinced of that at all. B, if that actually were true, let's be honest, they would have demanded way more. I mean, obviously they would have gotten more. So let's not try to move the goalposts here and pretend like this was actually a move that they always envisioned taking place. It's just simply not true at all.
I mean, the double talk out of this thing is just hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were in Houston, you're going, Jeff Luhnow, the general manager of the defending World Series champion Astros, wanted his fan base to believe that, yes, we have a zero tolerance policy on domestic violence, but it doesn't apply in this case because the... You know, the infraction against our policy happened with another franchise.
Didn't happen in Houston.
Didn't happen here.
I love that.
So our zero tolerance policy begins now.
Yes.
On this guy, who, by the way, is still serving out the remainder of a 75-game domestic violence-related suspension.
Right.
I mean,
oh, the moving of the goalposts.
And then Atkins telling us it's a baseball move.
Yes.
Like, this is the Trump era. Like, I think people with a modicum of power now look at Donald Trump and they go, truth doesn't matter.
We can sell anything.
Facts and don't matter.
People are going to move on. And guess what? They're right.
Yeah.
That's what's scary about it, is they're right. I mean, and that's what we were getting into yesterday with the Osuna stuff and the blowback. And there will be some blowback in Houston. There already has been.
Oh, plenty.
And their GM is taking a lot of heat for the double standards in his ridiculous explanation for why they generally have a absolutely ironclad rule set in place.
Yeah.
Where one strike and you're out. They're willing to move past that because they bring in a talent like Osuna who actually fills a hole that they really, really need. The only hole that they need. They've got the best rotation maybe since the Braves in the 90s. One of the great rotations of the century going right now. They've got tons of power, tons of hitting. Their championship pedigree.
Oh.
A.J. Hinch is a guy who's proven he can win in the playoffs as a manager. And all they needed was a closer. So obviously their morals get thrown out the window. They're willing to do that because they know that eventually it's going to die down. Like,
they
that's
hope.
The reality.
They hope.
They hope, but based on recent history in the world, with stuff that is a lot more serious,
sure,
in terms of, like, actual lives being on the line and politics that really affect the lives of people, generally speaking, it's a 24-hour news cycle, and then people move on.
Yeah.
And I kind of sense like that will more than likely happen in Houston. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know the market, so I can't really speak to how they're going to react to all
this. It's hard to know. Like, we had this conversation yesterday, and you made the point that the average fan probably doesn't care, right? The average fan is just like, if the guy can pitch, the guy can pitch. And if he's eligible to pitch and his suspension is over, why shouldn't we have him on our roster if we can get him on our roster, right? Especially given they didn't have to give up much to get him. And then, but the only counter to that, and I agree with you on that, like the average fan does not care.
It's not that they don't care. It's that they're not going to stop watching because of it.
I don't think they care that much. I think they're interested in the goings-on, but I don't think they're going to make moral stands. But
right.
They're under no illusions that these guys are all angels, right? Not the California angels. They're not under any illusion that these guys are saints. So the only thing that could bite the Astros in this one is that they've had some players, Verlander, of course, Justin Verlander being the most prominent, who's taken a public stand against domestic violence, right? You know, he's married to a high-profile woman in Kate Upton. He's the highest-profile player in that franchise and one of the most, you know, famous baseball players on the planet right now. And he's gone out on a limb and really made this a cause, right? He's gone on Twitter when they had a minor league prospect who was involved in an incident like this where there was video and it was heinous. Verlander, you know, did a social media post that denounced, you know, domestic violence. So now Verlander's put in the position of having to explain, well, how are you going to welcome this guy to your clubhouse, given your belief about domestic violence and the no-tolerance policy that your club has? And so if more comes out on Osuna, like, we don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow he's going to be in court in Toronto. or, you know, at least he's going to have a lawyer there on his behalf. And we don't know how this is going to proceed. A lot of signs are pointing to this thing's going to go away. You know, the legal, as most of these domestic violence cases do, because the often the victims or the alleged victims lose the wherewithal to pursue it in the courts. And so a lot of times these cases disappear with, you know, whether they're payoffs or whether I'm not, you know, we hear different things about why they disappear, but they disappear. But if this one doesn't disappear, it would be interesting to see how it could play on the Astros season, because there are guys in that clubhouse. There may not be fans that care too much, but there are guys in that clubhouse who are paying attention to what's going on with this case now.
Yeah, and Verlander is in a very precarious position because he was asked about it last night. And you could tell he was uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Very uncomfortable because he's been called to the carpet a little bit because he's called out guys on other teams,
yeah,
or even guys, again, in the system that aren't in his clubhouse.
Right.
Are you going to call out the guy in your clubhouse? I didn't call out Osuna last night. He just said, we'll see. You know where I stand on this. He's going to speak to us. We'll see where it goes. Somewhat vague in terms of the way he really feels or what he's willing to say on the record. And Major League Baseball still has the right to tack on more suspension.
Sure.
If more information comes out. And this is where, in the world of TMZ, it's a bit surprising nothing has gone public. But the way our court system works and our police services work here, we really, nothing gets out.
Yeah.
Like nothing, not even mugshots. That's why the mugshot of the Headley singer that came out last week was such big news, because it was like, how did that get out?
Mm-hmm.
Mugshots do not generally get out. Where in the States, you can get anything.
Oh, yeah.
You can find someone will leak it and take the money and they don't even track it down, or it doesn't seem like they do. And maybe the Blue Jays are bracing themselves for that. You know, there's a chance that they know there's a picture or a video, and there's been all these rumors about what could be there and what may not be there, and they know if that comes out, then they have to release them. And Houston may be in a position where if it comes out, they'd have to release
them. Yeah.
Because even if the court case goes away because they don't feel like they can convict for whatever reason, doesn't mean he didn't do it.
No.
And if the video comes out, well, then it's public knowledge, and then you really have a spicy meatball in your hands. But, you know, the moving of the goalposts, that's just the era that we're in. Like, you know how to dance around it. You know how to talk around it. Found it interesting reading about this story today where the NBA has struck a deal with MGM.
Yeah.
About becoming a gaming partner. And that is a beautiful terminology. It's not gambling partner.
No.
Gaming partner. No, it's not gambling. It's gaming. And that's how they're going to water this down. It's still going to be the exact same thing. It's still going to be people betting and giving money to casinos or sports books or whatever. Now, they have the ability to win. Let's not forget, some people do win. But gaming sounds a lot more PG than gambling.
Oh, gaming sounds like a bunch of teenagers in their basements playing Fortnite.
It's just a great time. Let's go gaming.
Let's go gaming.
It's the perfect terminal, and that's what's going to be the future. All these leagues, it's not going to be gambling.
No.
You will not see gambling anywhere. You won't find print. Hey, just so you know, we're not responsible if you dump all of your life savings into this gambling. But the big words, the marquee, come game with us.
Without a doubt.
That's where
Without
it's going.
Doubt. And we were talking about this yesterday. You know, we heard Gary Bettman today, I believe, say that they really want to get into a partnership like this. But the NBA, of course, being the most progressive league in a lot of ways, and Adam Silver probably being, you know, the most progressive of the commissioners of the big four sports, they're out in front on this. And this is all about, Hayes, this is, you know what this is coming to? You know, reading the stuff today and sort of reading the tea leaves of where they're heading with this. This is coming to a point where you will have your little, you know, your handheld device, your iPhone or your Android device in your hand. You'll be able to stream the game on the phone while you bet on the game on the phone in live time. So it'll be, you can bet on, this guy's about to go to the free throw line. It's LeBron James at the free throw line. You can make a micro bet on, will he make this free throw? They've already got this in Asia, in cricket. It's huge. It's massive. And this is where it's heading here. Now that the Supreme Court of the United States has said sports gambling is legal, it's up to the states to decide. In the states where they decide they're good with it, I guarantee you in no time you're going to see mobile betting legal across the world, and this is what, across the United States, and this is what the MGM NBA partnership is all about, because that's the next step here. It's not, they don't want just betting in casinos where you have to make a trip. They want betting as you're sitting there watching
Absolutely.
The game.
That's what it is. And I wonder how far away we are from sports books in the arenas as well.
Well,
you know, build them into
what would
the
be
concessions.
The difference?
You might as well.
Well, and it's
because if you allow people to do it over the phone.
Right.
Let people walk up to the booth, because that's huge in Europe and Asia as well.
Massive.
You go to any soccer game in Europe, you walk up, it's inside the building.
Oh, yeah.
You walk in, you place your bet, you go to your seat.
Everywhere you go. I mean, I remember going, you would go in, I've been in Czech Republic for the World Juniors a number of years back, and you'd walk down the street on the way to the arena, and you could go bet on the game in the sports book on the way to the arena. Now, they didn't have one in the arena, but as you say, in England, they have them in the stadiums at times. But bottom line is everything's going mobile, right? Like they don't want physical outlets because that costs money.
Well, then you got to pay people,
yeah,
you got to
exactly.
hire people.
So they want everybody to be able to bet throughout the game, and it's not just on the outcome of the game; it's on little things within the game, which is amazing, right? And that's where they've had problems in a lot of the Asian markets, where you've had massive cricket scandals, where people can bet on, you know, will this pitch be good? Like, will this guy, I'm using terms that don't apply to cricket because the cricketing terms are not familiar to everybody, but essentially, will this bowler, this guy who's going to throw this ball, will he go over the line? You can bet on that. You can bet on the smallest stuff. So it'll be, for basketball, there's how many micro bets could you make in a basketball game? You know, will they score on this possession? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be able to find out. You'll win your money or you're losing money in that possession.
Oh,
just
will
like
be a,
that.
Will it be a layup, a dunk, a two-pointer, a three-pointer? Will he get fouled? There's a million different variations that could apply every single play.
Exactly.
Who's going to be it? Who's actually going to take the shot?
Exactly.
You know, how are they going to take the shot? Where are they going to take the shot from? And, yeah, I mean, that's – I credit – the commissioner of the NBA, because I think Silver has always been ahead of the game because he knew that that's where it was going anyway.
Yeah.
And he was out front from day one. Adam Silver showed up and he said, I'm not going to fight what's happening anyway. That would be stupid. You know, that would be like back in the early 2000s being like, no, I'm not going to invest in Facebook. You know, that's not where the world is going. Yeah, that is where the world is going.
Well, it's kind of like in our business, like, you know, in the media business in general. You know, we've watched Facebook and Google take a lot of the advertising money away from us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is kind of similar because this is the NBA saying, wait a second, so you're telling us that all these offshore gaming operations to whom we have no connection are making all this money off our games and we're not getting anything close to a cut of it. Well, if we get in a partnership with legitimate gaming sources, and in the case of this MGM deal, we'll sell them our logos, we'll sell them our feeds, all our live data that comes out of the arenas that's faster than anybody else's data, so they can do instant betting. We're going to sell them all that, and then we'll be able to take a cut of what they're doing. And we'll also have an eye on what they're doing in case of integrity issues, which,
well,
of course, is always a concern.
But if you've ever been to a casino, the security is through the roof.
Oh,
no one can get away with anything at a casino.
Very true.
So these guys know what they're doing. They've been in this business for the longest time. You know, it would not make much sense to get in bed with a startup company in terms of gambling or gaming in this sense, where you're trying to figure out how this is all going to work out, because they haven't been down this road. Vegas has been in the business of making sure nobody cheats them for 60 years.
Yeah.
Ever since it came into existence, they have figured out what to look for, how to find it, and how to cut it out. So from that standpoint, from a regulation standpoint, this makes all the sense in the world for the NBA, because they're going to let MGM regulate everything, because it's the MGM that's going to get screwed here. Right, like if someone is finding a way to, the NBA is getting their money.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting their money. You know, put it this way: this is like a poker game, where the NBA is the dealer.
Exactly,
the dealer's getting a cut every single time you play. Now, if a player cheats another player, that's not the dealer's fault. That's your problem. You
right.
lost the money. You go deal with him or whoever's regulating it. The dealer is getting the 10% of every single pot or whatever it is.
Right,
that's what the NBA is getting here. So if there's any shady business, yes, they want to be on top of it. They don't want to be affiliated with that. But they're going to hand that, I would assume, over to the MGM to make sure that none of that kind of stuff happens. Now, they'll work in conjunction again, because now their reputation is on the line as well. But they're just looking for a percentage.
Of course.
It's not swinging. Like, the NBA is not going to sit there and be like, oh, we had a bad night. We lost a bunch of money.
No, they're not the
bookies. They're never losing
here.
Anything.
They're not the bookmakers.
They're not the book. Exactly.
Yeah, they're
just
the
getting
ones.
A cut.
They're not getting
before there's a payout. They're getting a cut of what is put on the line.
Yeah, exactly. And what they're selling here, it's the rights to all their stuff. It's the rights to their logos and the rights to their data. And that's really the key here. And Bettman talked about it too. Bettman wants to get into a business,
which I find quite rich, because Gary Bettman has been anti-legalizing gambling since day one.
Precisely, because he was on that David Stern, because he was a protege of David Stern,
exactly,
the previous NBA commissioner, who was anti-gambling to his last day on the job,
right?
And wouldn't let Toronto come into the league unless Ontario took NBA games off a pro line, which is almost the furthest thing from gambling that you can get, like, in terms of what is
hardcore
gambling.
There's limits you can put on it.
There's limits, and it's got to be a parlay. It's got to be a three-game parlay.
Yeah.
It was hardly hardcore gambling. It was hardly something that was going to be abused, and it was hardly something. What he did was he took a moral stand against anything approaching gambling.
That's all it was.
That's what David Stern did. And Bettman, you're right. Bettman was in that camp, because he was a Stern protege who came from the NBA in that era, and he was like, we can't have this. We just can't have this. For legitimate reasons, because the history of sports is riddled with instances where the integrity of the games was put in peril by people like Pete Rose and the Black Sox of 1919. And I know that's 100 years ago, but there have been other incidents throughout time that have reminded
us. That's the job of the commissioner. The job of the commissioner is to protect the brand and protect the integrity of the league. I don't dispute that. I'm not saying that I couldn't understand where they were necessarily coming from 10, 15 years ago. My point has always been, this is where it's going anyway. This is where it's going. So you might as well be progressive and proactive. And the NBA is the first one to do it. And now the NHL is coming back, behind the pack. And they're like, well, we want to cut too.
Yeah.
So, and they very well might get it. The problem is the NHL and hockey is not that conducive to gambling. Now, it is in terms of the in-game stuff that we just talked about.
Well, who's going to score the next goal?
Who scores next? Who gets the next penalty?
Sure.
Will the next whistle be an offside, an icing? There's a ton of different things you can bet on. But because it's not point spread, it makes it more difficult for what the average gambler looks for.
That's why football is so popular. But that's the beauty of this. I think a lot of the other sports, I've actually had this conversation earlier last year with some people at a conference, and one of the things is, right now, the NFL is king of sports betting because of point spreads, right? Because point spreads are so easily understandable, and because it's all, 16 games, whatever it is, a full slate of games on Sunday and a Thursday and a Monday. Very, very easy formats. But in the live betting era, which is what they're trying to usher in here, right? They're trying to usher in the mobile phone live betting era into North America, and the NBA is the first to do it. It's more of a leveling thing, right? Because if you have attractive instant gratification bets in your sport, that might be where the money is, right? Because, like will this guy make a free throw or not?
Yeah.
That to me is like the natural.
Well, and what you can also do with that, this is what I would expect they'll do, is they'll put limits on the amount of money you can put on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these are micro bets. You're not betting, $10,000, will LeBron make this free throw?
Because that's where it can get dangerous.
Right.
That's where they don't want to be involved in a story like that, where somebody's going to Sports Illustrated or The Star or TSN and saying, I got a story for you. I was drinking one night, and I was sitting there, and I wonder if they'll connect the dots there, too. If you're gambling, you can't be drinking. I don't know. I mean,
well,
these are all things they got to figure out, though.
Yeah.
But they have to figure that out, because
it's going to be up to the person. Like,
it's about freedom.
Wild West, personal freedom.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, from the NBA and whichever league it is, still can control what happens in their own buildings.
Well, yeah.
And how they allow this to all play out. Personally, I'm all for freedoms. I've always said that. If you want to gamble, you gamble. If you want to drink, you drink. You got to have limitations on all this kind of stuff, or you should, for your own good. But that's always been my stance on gambling.
Sure.
Just because there are some extreme examples, it doesn't mean it should be ruined for everybody else.
Well, it doesn't mean it should be ruined, but the governments that oversee it and take a lot of the cut of it in taxes, they need to provide the programs for the people that have problems. Do you agree with that or not?
Well, I mean, that, to an extent, it depends on how many. I mean, I haven't thought enough about the government's involvement.
Sure.
Are we talking municipal, provincial, federal? I mean,
it seems to be provincial here, right? Like, it's state by state in the States. I think it's province by province in Canada. And I mean, the bottom line is, when you introduce something that's clearly a vice,
it is.
Nobody in their right mind says, I'm going to raise my little my little 6 year old to become a great sports gambler. Like, you shouldn't aspire to that.
No.
I mean, I know there are a few guys, like there allegedly are a few people in the world that make a pretty good living, and it's a select few that make a pretty good living betting on sports. But it's a tough job.
It's a very tough life.
You've
got
to be pretty damn brilliant. You've got to know your way around some pretty sophisticated computer software to find an edge, right? This isn't just, I got a gut feeling here, I'm going to make a mint.
No.
That ain't how it works.
But I also wouldn't expect that everyone's going to start gambling because it's legalized and it's available to you.
But when it becomes more available, it becomes more popular. It's as simple as that. I mean, just like if there's more booze available, people will drink more booze. I mean, I don't think there does seem to be some sort of correlation, and that's why they regulate these things. But my thing is, I'm with you. Like, yeah, there should be freedom, and it shouldn't be, you know, rip off rates of, you know, regulation. But there needs to be some checks and balances for sure.
I think just for how comfortable the league will be in terms of how they get into bed with this originally.
Right.
You know, that's what I picture. Is you're going to have an account, you know, the NBA gaming app or whatever it is.
Sure.
And per game, you can bet up to $100. Something like that. And you can bet it in any variation you want. If you want to bet $100 on one free throw, you can do that. If you want to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I see them easing into it. And then they'll get a read on it. And it'll be different in 10 years, let alone 100 years, 200. Who knows where this is all going to go? We'll pick up on this conversation later in the hour. Richard Griffin will join us from the Star. The Jays have made a couple of minor deals today. Aaron Loop going to the Phillies. John Axford going to the Dodgers. Obviously, the big deal was Osuna yesterday and Happ last week going to the Yankees. So we'll get Griff's take on that. And the other moves that maybe didn't happen, was he surprised that any deals that were being reported or rumored actually didn't come to fruition? Richard Griffin of the Star talking Jays and the deadline next. All right, Richard Griffin will join us here in a moment. I want to touch on the Seth Rogen TTC stuff as well. We'll get to that at 5 p.m. Sounds like he's going to be the new voice of the TTC.
I'm outraged by this.
You are?
I am absolutely outraged.
All right, save that. At 5 p.m., we will have our takes on Seth Rogen being the voice of the TTC. Jay's making a couple of minor deals today. A couple of guys who we expected to potentially be moved. Doesn't sound as if they have been. Some more deals will be trickling over the line over the next half an hour or so. Richard Griffin from the Star on what the Jays did do and what they didn't do in 2 minutes. Should point out that Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is making his debut in Buffalo tonight. He'll be hitting third in the lineup, and I'm not surprised by this. I think a lot of it was simply timing, but I opened up the Sun this morning. By that, I mean I went online, because I don't actually physically hold newspapers, and I haven't in a long time. But Rob Longley wrote a long piece about Vladdy and his journey and who he is and what he's all about, and I'm sure it was to coincide with him debuting in Buffalo, but that was the front page of the Sun Sports, and the Osuna trade was kind of just an aside, so to speak. And then I went on the Star's website this afternoon when I got on here, and the highlighted piece right at the front page of the Star's sports section online, Vladdy Guerrero making his debut in Buffalo tonight. Is Vladdy a bigger story than the Osuna trade or the other minor deals? I mean, I guess I'm not surprised by that. It feels like it's all Vladdy all the time. If you want to find something positive, it's the only thing positive they have going for them.
It's not a bigger story than Roberto Osuna getting traded.
No.
Roberto Osuna getting traded was incredible fodder for discussion. I mean, we sat here for 2 hours yesterday talking about this thing, and we could probably spend another 2 hours on
it.
Because it's a great piece. It's a great conversation point in terms of all the angles of the suspension and the Astros throwing their zero tolerance against domestic violence policy out the window and the Jays pretending it was a baseball trade when we know it wasn't. I mean, we can keep going on it, but... But Vladdy Jr., yeah, you're right. In terms of the ray of sunshine in a bleak landscape, that's it.
Here's Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star. Is that the truth, Rich? Outside of Vladdy, there's really not much positive right now with the Jays?
Yeah, and it's sort of embarrassing that you point out that the front pages of the Sun and the Star, which pretty much are the only media entities covering baseball that aren't Rogers-owned, are also on flat. But, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's nice to have a little ray of sunshine, but a dose of reality helps, too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of time for Vladdy talk, and we've been talking about him all year, it seems like it. But the Osuna deal, we should begin there because Dave and I, we spent the majority of yesterday's show talking about it. We opened up the show today. Really complex. There's a lot to unpack here. But what popped into your mind first when you heard that Osuna had been dealt to Houston?
Well, what popped into my mind first is that Ross Atkins and the organization have really turned 180 from the time that he was first suspended. I mean, if you recall, they were three games over 500 when he got suspended on May 8th or when he was arrested on May 8th. And that's the same day that Marcus Stroman went down, started that day and then went down with shoulder injuries. And I believe that they thought that they could still be in some sort of contention for a wild card. And so that was all the bleeding about how when Osuna serves his suspension, when he comes back, he's going to be our closer. And as they got closer to it, they got slapped in the face by reality that they weren't going to contend and that they weren't going to contend in 2019 and that their fan base, and I can't speak for the entire fan base, but the fan base that I spoke to, by and large, was not happy with the kid gloves that Osuna was being treated with. And I think that they changed their mind. They had to find a team that was willing to overlook, personality and character in favor of closing out ball games, and they found it in the Houston Astros.
So, Griff, what do you make of this? I mean, the idea that a team can trade for a player who's currently under suspension for a domestic violence incident, and that team happens to be the Houston Astros, who claim to have a zero-tolerance policy against domestic violence. I mean, the double talk coming out of Houston yesterday was astounding. Do you think that bothered anybody in baseball's front office? I mean, the league-level front office?
I think it bothered people inside the Astros clubhouse, and I think it spells the end of their back-to-back hopes for a World Series.
Wow.
I mean, last season they had the hurricane. They were battling for the city. They were battling for each other, the guys who had been there through the 100-loss seasons. And this year, I don't see them battling that way for Roberto Osuna and what they've put together and what the front office has done to that clubhouse.
With Richard Griffin of the Star, from the Jays' perspective, what I've been just fascinated by ever since Shapiron Atkins got here was their ability to either mislead or just not come forth with 100% truth. And they're not alone in that. I mean, that's the executive way. I mean, the Leafs have been doing that. The Jays do it. The Raptors do it. All these teams do it. But yesterday was an opportunity where you don't have to come out outright and say, we could never let him pitch for us again, or ownership told us he can't pitch for us again. But the idea that Atkins was trying to spin it as if they were really excited about the haul they got in return and that this was a baseball move, it seems very disingenuous. I mean, I think he could have spun it in a bit of a different way where his credibility wouldn't be at stake again, because it seems like it always is with this front office.
Yeah, I think it's an ability to mislead and misread. I mean, these guys are coming from another place on the south shore of Lake Erie, and they still haven't figured out that Canada and Toronto is a different place. And I think they just misread their fan base. And I don't think that Ross Atkins is comfortable spinning, because I think he really wants to tell you what he thinks, but he's working for the corporate grandmaster, and it's not coming out that way, and it makes him look ridiculous.
Why doesn't Shapiro ever talk on the record?
He talks to MLB.com. He talks to the big national reporters. He's a big picture guy, and he doesn't care about the small people in Toronto. So he's representing them on an international, on a North American scale, and Ross Atkins is the local guy.
So, Griff, I mean, you know, turning our gaze down the QEW to Buffalo, I mean, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. making his AAA debut tonight. I guess they got 16 more home dates in Buffalo where fans could go down and see him. You know, what are we expecting here? Like, what do you think is a reasonable expectation from the remainder of this season for Vladdy Jr.?
Oh, if he doesn't hit 750, I think that's a disappointment. No, honestly, I mean, he's a hitter. That's all there is to it. It would have happened earlier if he hadn't got injured. They used the fact of him going to Cooperstown and taking the 3 days off to go see his dad's induction into the Hall of Fame. They use that as the, sort of the jumping off point for his promotion, the same way they use the Midwest League All-Star game last year as the jumping off point to sending him to the next level in Dunedin. And, you know, he's gonna handle AAA pitching well. The only thing is that AAA over AA. AA, you have pure arms. You have guys throwing 95 miles an hour, but they don't know how to pitch. They just know how to throw. And the quality arms at AA are the same as the quality arms at AAA, but there's more pitchers who know how to spin the ball and get hitters out at AAA. So that's going to be the adjustment for him to make before I believe he's going to be up September 1st or maybe even a little earlier.
Oh, so you think they're going to bring him up? Do you think they're going to bring him up to the big club, eh?
Yeah, there's no downside to bringing him up. I mean, they know they're giving away 2019. It doesn't affect his status for arbitration, and it doesn't affect his status for free agency if they bring him up on September 1st. But what it does do is show him what a major league feel, what a major league clubhouse, what a major league environment is like, so that moving forward to opening day of 2019, he's aware, he knows. It's not just spring training, boom, into the season. He knows what to be looking for. And, you know, as a kid, he spent time with his dad in Montreal in that clubhouse. But when he was there in April, he said the only thing he remembered was the ice cream machine. And from his butt, we can see that that's exactly what he remembered.
He's a big boy, man. The piece I read today, he's playing at like 240, 250.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's a big kid.
Oh, absolutely.
And they are nervous about that. They are very nervous about that. But it's interesting that you think he's coming up, because I guess what you're saying, Griff, is that you don't think they'll mess around and send him to the minors coming out of camp next year until 3 weeks are up or a month is up, and then call him up so that final year of team control would still be there for him. You think he's going to start day one of next season, and if that's the case, you might as well bring him up now because it makes no difference.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I mean, once his clock starts, it's not going to stop. He's going to be in the major leagues. He's a major leaguer. If he gets injured, he's still getting major league service time. But, yeah, I don't see them in a season where they're trying to develop them sending him down April 1st, bringing him back in early May, and trying to pretend like Chris Bryant and the Cubs, trying to pretend that, oh, he wasn't ready, he needed more time. I don't see that happening.
Speaking of spin from the front office in Blue Jay land, Griff, I guess there's some stuff trickling out of Ross Atkins' post-deadline media availability, and he is telling reporters that there was, quote, absolute interest in Josh Donaldson at the deadline. I mean, given Donaldson's status right now in rehab down in Florida, do you think there's some truth to that?
Yeah, there was some truth to that in terms of teams were willing to take him and wait for him to be ready to play, but they weren't willing to give anything up. They were going to take him off the hands and try and match the equivalent of that compensation draft pick that the Blue Jays will get if they offer him if they make him a qualifying offer at the end of the season to keep him all the way. The problem now becomes, as you go into August, you can't put him on waivers until he's healthy, until he's back on the active roster, and you put him on major league trade waivers, and then if somebody claims him and doesn't want to make that trade you want, you have to withdraw him and keep him till the end of the season. So it would have been easier to do it now, but nobody wanted to really give up what he was worth. If he can play 10 games, 12 games in August, and if he's cleared waivers, then it'll be easier to get more compensation for him.
Thank you, Griff. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, anytime.
Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star. Big take from Griff there. He thinks that Vladdy Jr. is going to be up in September.
That is a good take.
And that would get the city buzzing, man, because he has been the most anticipated prospect maybe in the history of the city.
I don't think they've had another one.
And I mean
of this stature.
I mean, like,
in any sport.
Any sport. Because,
right,
like, Matthews was hyped once they won the lottery. Vladdy
Jr. not a prospect. He just was an NHLer from the beginning. He got to
right,
the team.
But, I mean, but people were waiting to see him. But,
right.
Like, Vladdy, for about a year and a half, people have known about Vladdy Jr. And we're talking maybe Nylander. Remember when Nylander was lighting up with
yeah.
the Marlies and people knew about it and they were waiting for him to come
not
up?
Not the same thing, though.
But this seems like on a completely different level. And come September, when Tavares rolls into camp for the first time, there's going to be a lot of Leaf talk. When Kawhi Leonard lands in Toronto and maybe actually speaks with the media, there's going to be a lot of Raptors talk. The only thing that can get people intrigued by the Jays would be Vladdy.
Yeah.
The only thing.
And they
he's
got
coming
hey,
up.
They got 14 home games in September.
Right.
You know, that are inconsequential.
Against Houston, the Yankees,
yeah.
Red Sox. Like
yeah.
Some teams that are going to get people intrigued to an extent. If you can put a Blue Jay slant into the sales pitch, you'll sell tickets.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's a, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Griff laid out the case there. I mean, why wouldn't you get this guy acquainted with the big league life?
If he's starting day one next year.
Yeah.
Because then again, the clock was going to start anyway. You might as well start
exactly.
this September. If they were going to play the game that the Cubs play with Bryant,
right.
that the Braves play with Acuna, and wait 3 weeks or whatever it is, Trout with the Angels, so that you get the extra year in terms of his, you know, team control.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to do that, and he's breaking camp with the team next year anyway, you might as well bring him up in September.
Yeah,
give him a taste.
Frankly, he can make you a lot of money.
Yes. Well, that's true, too. And hopefully it benefits him greatly.
Yeah.
We'll get to Sound Wars next.
The greatest moments in history are now up to you. This is TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
Yeah! All right, so we'll kick it off with the winner from today's Sound Wars battle between two quality clips. The winner from today was...
The Force is strong with the Penguins. Join us and fight the dark side when we battle the Islanders on December 7th during our special Star Wars theme night. Buy tickets, you must. Visit PittsburghPenguins.com. May the Force be with you.
Oh, Phil. Phil is all over the Sound Wars, as he should be. He's just supplied us with so much great material over the years. So Phil is moving on, and it received 69% of the votes. Now it's time for a Sweet 16 Sound Wars battle in the Yes Guy, No Guy conference. It is seed number 2.
What did Gretzky say?
You miss 99% of the shots you don't take.
I think it was 100.
Actually, it was 100.
Going up against the number 5 seed in the Yes Guy, No Guy conference.
Just met a guy, and he's like, you're not as fat as I thought. Hey, he goes, yeah, you're the O-Dog. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, you're not as fat as I thought.
That, why
like,
do you?
Who says that to somebody?
That could be a slogan.
Put it on a T-shirt?
Put it in your bio on Instagram.
not
O-Dog 9, not as fat as you thought.
So this is going to be a barn burner. This should be an epic, epic battle between these two O-Dog comments. In the Sweet 16 of the Yes Guy, No Guy conference, go to TSN1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite. 99% of the shots, or not as fat as I thought. Voting for this Sound War closes tomorrow at 8 a.m. Listen to Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of an Elite 8 Sound Wars battle right here on TSN Radio. We'll get Feschuk's hot take on Seth Rogen, who is soon to be the voice of the TTC, after being the voice of Vancouver Transit, because he was already preparing for that. I don't know when that actually begins, but Toronto's following in their footsteps. And we're going to get into the LeBron James conversation. We meant to do it yesterday, but after the Osuna trade, it kind of threw us off that path a little bit. But just what he's been doing off the court throughout the offseason, the legend of LeBron James. We'll get into that conversation in the next hour. Hour 2 up next, Dave Feschuk in here from The Star. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.